He may be there close to the top of the field when the 2016 presidential race gets underway. Republican Senator Rand Paul, junior senator from Kentucky, son of presidential candidate and former Congressman Ron Paul, has a very high profile in the U.S. Senate. He's taken on the administration over its use of predator drones against U.S. citizens. He's been very tough on his own party for its endorsement of the aggressive use of domestic surveillance under the Patriot Act. From his libertarian side, Rand Paul is a tough advocate of smaller government and stated boldly he had no fear of the sequester when it happened earlier this year. His latest issue? Well, he's joining the bandwagon of the Military Justice Improvement Act, a proposal from Paul's Democratic colleague, New York Senator Kirsten Gillibrand, to deal with sexual assault in the military. Gillibrand explained her proposal on this program last May.
Men and women who are attacked don't feel that they can tell their commanding officer. And so one of the solutions that we've put forward is the ability for them to actually report these cases to the JAG attorneys, the prosecutors who will prosecute the case, take the decision-making out of the chain of command so that they're no longer the one who decides whether a case should go to trial or whether to overturn a jury's verdict once a conviction has been made.
Even though Gillibrand's plan does not have the support of the Joint Chiefs of Staff or many others in the GOP, Rand Paul thinks the Pentagon itself is just another example of big government and big authority trampling on the rights and needs of American citizens, in uniform or not. And for Senator Rand Paul, that's a matter of principle.
Well, you know, I'm a physician, and I like to see legislative problems or problems that we have in the country simply as problems without a partisan nature. I try to, can't say that I'm never a partisan, but I try to see things in a bipartisan or nonpartisan way. And in the military, as Senator Gillibrand describes the problem, it appears that people who have suffered from sexual assault aren't reporting the problem because they may fear who they report it to. I think the idea of having it outside your chain of command is probably a good idea.
Now, of course, many in the military, including the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, says breaking up the command structure would be way too disruptive. What's your response to that?
You know, I've talked to people in my state, some of whom are judges, some of whom are Marines, and asked them about this. And their first impression was that it might. And then we talked further and we looked at the bill. And one of the things we were concerned about was that disobeying an order would go outside of the chain of command. And we thought that was wrong. If a colonel tells a captain what to do and the captain doesn't obey, we really don't need a lawyer in the middle of that. And so we asked Senator Gillibrand if she'd take out disobeying an order. So she agreed to take that out. And I think that should help some of the people in the military who worry about having a lawyer involved in every command decision.
You took very strong positions on the president being asked if U.S. citizens were going to be targeted in drone strikes, a controversy earlier this year. You talked very strongly about issues of domestic surveillance in the United States. I'd love to hear some of those comments reiterated here. But in general, do you think there is a broad bipartisan consensus growing in the United States on these issues of government intrusion into people's lives?
Well, I think it's growing, but it's very small. Unfortunately, the bipartisan consensus, with almost no disagreement among Republicans and Democrats, is for domestic surveillance without many restrictions at all. The head of the FBI recently announced that they have domestic drones. This was to the surprise of most of us. I have had no indication that they were using drones, and he said, yes, they were using them. And he was asked, well, do you have any kind of privacy guidelines to keep you from invading people's privacy? He says, we're working on them. That was kind of shocking. They're using the drones and don't yet have their guidelines in place. And so we sent a question to the head of the FBI. We said, are you getting search warrants before you use a domestic drone for surveillance? And are you arming these drones, or do you have plans to arm these drones? And how many drones do you have, and how long have you been using them? And they refused to answer us. So this has been going on for nearly a month now. We've gotten no answers from the FBI. They're also talking about maybe their answers are going to be classified. Well, if they classify their answers, whether they're using a warrant or not, or how they're using it, then they forbid me from talking about it. So really, this needs to be an open discussion. There's no reason it should be classified, talking about whether or not we're going to obey the Bill of Rights when we do surveillance of individuals.
Traditional Republicans argue that, at least traditional contemporary conservative Republicans argue that the United States government is a far too big intruder in the U.S. economy. It sounds like you're saying there's also a parallel argument that because of our national security apparatus, that there is an intrusion into American civil life that is a result of growing government in the security zone. Do you think the two arguments are parallel?
Absolutely. And I think the consistent argument, you know, is for less government involvement in the economy, but also less in our personal and private lives. And I think one of the things that, you know, people have said, well, this NSA leak has sort of jeopardized our national security. I think sort of the opposite. I think the fact that we've had the intelligence director lie to us about the program really does more to jeopardize our security, because now we've lost faith. We've lost faith in the intelligence community that they will tell either Congress or the American people the truth. And I think really the only thing shocking, or the only thing that's been divulged here, is not that we're spying on terrorists. I think most terrorists in the world are swapping out phones and know that we are listening to their phone calls and watching them on the internet. The surprise really here is that we're watching Americans, innocent Americans, to the tune of hundreds of millions of American cell phones, tracking all that data without an individualized warrant, without probable cause. And I find that very, very disconcerting.
You've talked about your frustration with what you say are lies from the national security apparatus, even to members of Congress, in your endorsement of the Gillibrand bill. You're essentially talking about encouraging whistleblowing of sexual assault by victims within the military, even outside the chain of command. I'm wondering if there's a whistleblowing issue at work in the national security establishment. Would you consider Snowden, whistleblower Ed Snowden, a hero?
You know, I think it's unknown, and history will kind of, it's kind of the question still remains how he'll be judged in history. And I think it's more difficult for him now because he's, you know, seems to be taking residence with people who have been traditionally our opponents and at times our enemies. So I think it's more and more difficult. But I think the issue is an incredibly important one. The other thing about it that people need to remember with these leaks, it's not like there's been some kind of computer code leaked that could damage our national intelligence gathering. What's been leaked is basically a program that's been talked about on the ACLU website for over a year. I've talked about it indirectly in Las Vegas a year ago. I said that a gazillion of your communications are being looked at. And the reason I use the word gazillion is because it's not a real word. And I can use that because it's classified what the exact number is. So really, there wasn't so much a secret. But what was pointed out, though, is just how much of an abuse. Now you have authors of the Patriot Act saying, you know what? Even though I supported the Patriot Act, I never thought they would use one single warrant to get a billion phone records. And that really goes against the grain of the Fourth Amendment and everything that we stand for. And it shouldn't be decided by a secret court, by FISA. It should be decided in public by the Supreme Court. And my hope is that the ACLU and other organizations will get out there and we will actually have a public decision on this at the Supreme Court level.
Talking with the Senator Rand Paul, Republican from Kentucky, and as we learned, friend of the ACLU. So you're not going to judge him. You're going to let history judge whether Ed Snowden is a hero or not. But it certainly sounds like he's helping you make your argument.
Well, I think what's come of this is something very important, is that really we should not allow public officials, high government officials, to lie to Congress. I mean, all the time in committee, people tell me, oh, I can't comment on that in this particular setting. And we accept that there are certain things they will not comment on in public. But it's not acceptable simply to lie to us because it's a public hearing.
Finally, Senator Paul, there's lots of discussion, of course, in Washington and around the country about possible presidential aspirations for you. In that context, let me return to the comments that we were discussing regarding the notion of economic intrusion by the federal government versus national security intrusion by the federal government. The mainstream Republican position seems to be very hard on security, endorsing domestic surveillance by many, but very, very hard on reducing the size of the federal government economically. Do you think that's a contradiction to say one should grow and the other should shrink when you say both should shrink?
I think there is a contradiction, but I think also public opinion and opinion within parties and the shape of parties evolve over time. You know, in the last month, you've seen President Obama's ratings with the youth drop 20 points because he doesn't appear to be defending privacy on the internet. So I think you could conceive of a time when you could have a Republican leader or a Republican nominee who would say, you know, we're the champions of privacy on the internet. We're the champions of the Fourth Amendment. We're the believers in less aggressive war. I mean, look at the potential nominee nominee that they've pointed to, Hillary Clinton, very aggressive with foreign policy, you know, was said to be the leading voice for getting involved in the war in Syria, getting involved in the war in Libya. So you might see an interesting switch where Democrats who were once reticent to go to war become the eager folks to go to war. And there might be a branch of the Republican Party that becomes for a strong defense, but more reluctant with regard to foreign adventure.
Sounds like you might be looking to inherit all of those very, very loyal Ron Paul presidential primary supporters in the 2016, eh?
We will see. Haven't made my mind up yet.
Senator Rand Paul, Republican from Kentucky, thanks so much for speaking with us.
Thank you.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here? And maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.